Several things he mentions in one strain here that was just solid teaching. This is a Smyrna church age where he preached in the 60s. Just cutting in here, he said, now that life, he's talking about that there's no eternal hell. It's everlasting. Now that life will finally come to a spot till it is no more. Whatever the chemistry of that life, I don't believe it has any chemistry. It'll be spiritual. And then in that, finally, it'll completely separate and be no more. That's what the Bible said. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And they that overcome in these church ages here shall not be hurt by the second death. The body dies first, the soul dies next, and it will be no more. See, do you believe that that's the Bible that says that? Now remember, if hell is eternal, then the Bible is wrong when it said hell was created. And if a man's going to burn for eternity in hell, then he'd have to have eternal life to be conscious to burn. Is that right? Well, how many forms of eternal life is there? One. That's right, just one eternal life. Now, don't go away from here and say, Brother Branham don't believe in hell. Yeah. Just completely assuming, you know. Brother Branham does believe in hell. The Bible teaches there's a hell, just as sure, a place for rest, there's a place for punishment. And this is what I wanted to mention here. And God will certainly make a soul that sins against him be punished. And for rejecting Jesus Christ as your Savior, you'll certainly be punished for it. Mm-hmm. I think it was Chris that first really pointed that out, that I remember. And I'm sure it was mentioned when I was growing up. But a lot of times we think you're born a sinner and you'll be punished for your sins, you know, just... But he says, for rejecting Jesus Christ as your Savior, you'll certainly be punished for it. And he says that in other places and ways where he talks about your sins being chopped off. You can't be held accountable for what Adam did in the human race. And even the way you're born, we're born in sin, shape, and iniquity. Are we held accountable for that? Maybe a theological question, but... He says, rejecting Jesus Christ as your Savior, you'll certainly be punished for it. But there will be a time when you'll be no more. You're a time being until you're born again. Then you're an eternal being.
That's right.
And the only way you can get it is have part of God in you, being eternal life. Can you see it? Certainly. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your blessings, Lord. We thank you for the words of the hour, Lord, their life to us. Like it says, we're creatures of time until we've been born again, and then that had no beginning, no ending if we're a part of you, Lord. What a great blessing it is. It takes all the achievements out of us, Lord, and puts all the glory and the honor on you. And
yes,
I pray that you would just make that more real to us and help us to be witnesses, Lord, of your word in this hour, Lord, that we may share the light. Pray a blessing on the, or have some customers come along, and the one that came yesterday asked for, seemed to recognize that we're praying people and asked for prayer, Lord. Pray that you would just minister to them. It's a great thing to look to our Heavenly Father, Lord. May you move in a way in there. Some turmoil they're having in their life, Lord. You know how to move where they would recognize that it's you, Lord. That would be the greatest thing. Pray that you would be with us now this morning, and each one that's gathered, and those that are sick and suffering, Lord, and each one that has needs. And we give you thanks for the answered prayers along the way now. We ask these blessings in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Sing the one she's playing. I sing praises to your name.
Yeah.
I give glory to your name.
so glad we're His. Amen. That's how He found us. We follow Him. Sing, I've anchored in Jesus. Number 157.
Thank you.
Sing this chorus, fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up.
Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. is thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Here's my cup, fill it up and make me whole.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we so thank you, Lord, for your grace to us. Lord, that you chose us before the foundation of the world, and you made sure, Lord, that we would know who you were. And by that, receive, Lord, all these blessings. Lord, we thank you for your word so much, and not just the letter, but the revelation, Lord. That is how we live, by knowing who you are, Lord. May we pull up close, Lord, this morning and know you even more, Father. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. That's that song we were singing there. That's one more song. I'll tell you. Is that the one Sister Eleanor wrote? It is. That one, that's the one Katrina said she wrote in that minor key. Isn't that a minor? I don't know about music. Okay. Well, it sounds different. That's why it sounds. Yeah, that's something. You think about, you know, there's so much around that. Brother Bram talked about that Mount Transfiguration, on Mount Transfiguration, was Moses and Elijah and Christ. And do you know who he said Moses and Elijah represented there with Christ? Transfigured together, the Old and New Testament. But do you know what he said? Moses and Elijah, Moses, he said, represented the dead saints. And Elijah represented those that were remaining. And there's something to that. There's a lot of other things in there too. Because when he says he's coming directly to the Jews, how does he come to the Jews? Brother Bram said at the end, when the Gentiles are done, when that age is done, then he opens up the seals, which is to who? Which is to the bride. And in opening up the seals to the bride, he's coming to the Jews. There's no way around it. And I don't want to say more, but until I got it all straightened and laid out, because I believe the Lord's helping me on this, and I just want to put it out there. I was a lot of things. Years ago, we were at one of the breakfasts one morning, Brother Holmes, and I asked Brother Holmes a question. We were talking about the Jews receiving it, receiving Christ. And I asked him, I said, well, brother, people think that the Jews receive Christ after the Gentile days is over. And that's true. That's what it says. I said, but at the same time, Brother Branham said he leaves the mercy seat. There's no more mercy. I said, so if there's no more mercy, how are they receiving it? So I had that question. And Brother Holmes, he told me, he brought a series out of that, because the question that I'd ask him got him to looking and searching and things. And he brought some more really good messages after that. And don't let nobody tell you that this word is finished. This word will never be finished. And if we think it's finished, then we have sat down on God. That's what I believe. And we can't sit down on God. And by sitting down, I mean you're not expecting every time you go to that message, you're not expecting him to speak to you. Then you've sat down on him. You have to. Every day when you get up, you're looking for him to be in your life. You're expecting it. He said, the just shall walk, live by faith. They live by it. They don't have to concentrate to live by it. They just live by it. And so, there's the Bible, the message is full of so many promises. I remember years ago, brother, where Brother Brown said when he became a Christian, he went to the Bible to see what all it said. What all promises come with this? You know, I'm a Christian now. Let me go get the manual. What does this manual mean now? And all the promises that are in there. And how that when he opened those books, he saw them all as promises to him. They were his promises. And every single day he expected God to manifest those promises in his life. And he does. You might not see them sometimes, but he does. If you're walking by faith, there's no way around it. Because where's your faith? It's in the Word. And if you have faith in the Word, then it has to be coming to pass. What did Brother Ram say? Works is faith expressed. So, all right, so we're going to pick back up here. I was, you know that scripture, and this is not pertaining to the message, but, well, it's all pertaining, but not to this subject. And I'm going to send this over if I remember. Hang on 1 second. I forget to do that till I hear a click. So, but what I was going to say is, I was listening to someone on the internet, and they were talking about how, and it was Brother Joseph up in Jeffersonville, and he said, and I don't know how long old this was, I was just looking at it, and it said he had went out to Phoenix to get alone with the Lord so he could find the will of the Lord. And so when he came back from Phoenix, he told the people that the Lord told him he was in his perfect will. Keep listening to them tapes. And then he went on later on and he talked about what he felt about the fivefold ministry. It was in another tape. And while all he said was true, it also says in the scripture that no man can call Jesus the Christ except it's revealed to you. So you can listen to the tapes all you want to. You can repeat the tapes all you want to. But they're not Jesus Christ to you unless he reveals it to you. And so, I'm saying that because I don't want people, whoever might hear this, any of us sitting here, anywhere, to think that all you have to do is turn the tape on and listen to it. And you've done your duty. You're done. It's just like the denominations. Even though it's absolutely the truth, the Word. It's the Word you're listening to. But it's not a duty. It's a privilege. And we talk about him being our husband, but then we don't treat him like he's our husband. You know? And I'm speaking as a husband. I just have to watch sisters and see how they treat their husband. The ones that, you know, are filled with the Holy Ghost, how do they treat their husband? And how does their husband treat them? You know, and look at that. And Brother Bram said that's a type. And then, but you know what I'm saying? You know, you can't just listen to a tape and think, oh, well, that's it. I did what I was supposed to today. I gave the Lord some time. Do you think that's the way Adam went and spent the evening with Christ when they walked in the cool of the evening? Do you think that's how it was? Do you think he was thinking about anything else when he walked with him in the evening? Nothing. No. He was just with him. They were just with him. And that was enough. And so, and I'm not trying to beat anybody up for listening to tapes. Oh, goodness. I listen to tapes all the time. And then when I remember when I left, I can't remember the name of the company I was working for. When I left them, I started working. I left Duke and I started working for this contracting company. And I had to drive to Columbia and back from when, and I think we were living over there in Lincolnton. So it was like 2.5 hours to Columbia and 2.5 hours back. And this is so far back, gas was 87 cents a gallon. So that's how far back it was. And I had the little Honda, I was getting like almost 40 miles to the gallon. So it didn't cost me nothing, but they were paying me all the money for the mileage. Anyways, I was going down there and it took all that time to go down there. I had the tapes on all the way down, all the way back. I didn't have them in my car and to play through because they didn't have that then. This was a 97 Honda, so they didn't have that kind of thing then. And so I had those little CDs and the little Walkman. Yeah, the DVDs or CDs that would go in the little Walkman thing, and you put them in there, and I had a little earpiece. I'd run that earpiece out and stick it in my ear, and I didn't want to stick it in both because I was afraid I'd miss a horn or something, but I stuck it in there, and that's the way I listened to tapes, 2.5 hours down, 2.5 hours. I couldn't get enough. I was listening, and I remember it started. I started listening to them way back there in that old yellow car. The one that Joseph traded me for a pair of boots and some money. And that thing was mustard yellow. The air conditioning didn't work. It would lose a quart of oil down and then stop. It didn't lose any more oil. And it had one of those engines in it. I think they call it the B-22 legendary engine. It had carpet on the dash. And I had just had a few cassette tapes. And it would play the cassette tapes in there. And so I played this one on Abraham over and over and over. I played that tape. And it started moving on me then, you know. And because I was in the church for a long time before I actually turned to the Lord. You can go through a lot of actions and a lot of motions and a lot of things like that. But when he's ready, it's going to happen. So, doesn't mean the Lord is not using you. He's not doing things. But, I mean, look at Moses. Moses, there was things happening there in Moses' life that were written. But it wasn't until the Lord came and that's when his ministry started. But, I'm just saying, he's always moving. See? And it just gets greater and greater. And I remember Brother Branham said he gave his all so that we could be with him. Now let's give our all so that someone else can know. That's the only way you're going to know him is if you give him all. And I got a quote about that later on in here. But this is about the Messiah, the sign of the Messiah. And so let's start. I'm going to reread a couple quotes that we had at the end of the last service to sort of start us off here. And this is in Gabriel's Instructions to Daniel, 1961. Now, our kinsman is handed the seven seal book of redemption from the original owner. Excuse me. We find was the original owner, God himself. And the Lamb came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. Who was the Lamb? The Redeemer, our kinsman Redeemer, the kinsman to the church who come and redeemed Israel. Come and redeemed Israel. And he bowed his head and said it was finished. It was finished. But there was still things that had to happen, had to be accepted. Right. Now, they're going to get into this. We're going to get into that this morning. Israel was redeemed, but it was not applied to them. because they rejected him. So Naomi, the type here, we're just looking at the type. Naomi didn't take it, didn't accept it. Not the real Naomi, but Israel in type didn't take it. Israel was redeemed, but it was not applied to them because they rejected him. But the church received their redemption, and he is our kinsman redeemer. And as Boaz had to redeem Naomi in order to get Ruth, had to. Don't miss that part. He had to redeem Naomi in order to get Ruth. Can't get her any other way. The only way is to redeem Naomi. To get Ruth the Moabite, an alien, a Gentile. So Christ redeemed Israel, applied the redemption, and was rejected. And then just a little ways on down, he says, and Jesus redeemed Israel at Calvary, but it was not a pardon to them because they did not receive it as a pardon. They rejected him. See, he's saying it again. But in our lesson now, on these 70 weeks, we find they come back and receive their pardon. They come back and receive it. Isn't that something? He's not married the Gentile bride yet. We know that. And then we see these things coming to be. They come back and receive their pardon. But he redeemed the church. When we are pardoned because we receive the blood of Jesus, Christ is our pardon. He's our pardon. So he redeems you, and then you accept the pardon, and then he makes it manifest. All right, going on down in that same message. Israel returning to their homeland. Let me just say this. Now watch. I guess it's off of tape. So he's checking to see if they turned the tape off so he can say what he's getting ready to say. Let me say this. The very hour that Israel become a nation, the reason I've always believed before my class here that there was something that I'd have a part before I die of getting Israel back to the Lord. I've always believed it, he said. The very hour by the Pan American chart that Israel was declared a nation for the first time for 2,000 years since they'd been scattered, not a people, it was that very same hour, exactly to the hour, that the angel of the Lord met me up yonder and sent me with the gospel. The very same thing. The very minute they become a nation is the very minute he sent. And then look what happens in his ministry. First is the sign in the hand, but then he knows the thoughts and intents of the heart, which we're going to find out is the sign of the Messiah, as Brother Bram said. And that happens before the seals open. That the angel of the Lord met me up yonder and sent me with the gospel. Okay, we got that. Now, then another thing that gives me to know, besides that, here's another thing. It's restoring the hearts of the children back to the fathers, and the hearts of the fathers to the children. The message. The message does that. Notice Malachi 4, not 3. 4. Another thing, so that's 2, now here's 3. This third thing is another reason why he knows that he will have a part in Israel going back to the Lord. He's given 3 reasons. Another thing, when Billy, my son, and I, and Brother Ern Baxter was on our road to Palestine after we'd met the Jews at Brother Argenbright's, and they seen the meeting. So they'd already met with the Jews at Brother Argenbright's. And they seen the meeting. Louis Pethros had sent them these Bibles over there. And he said, the Jews come. Now, he didn't have a meeting with the Jews. So just be clear. I think he just sat and talked with some Jewish people, rabbis or something. He said, these Jews come, said, if you will call up a bunch of the leaders of Israel, the Jews come, said this. If you will call up a bunch of the leaders of Israel. Now listen, who's saying this? The Jews are telling him this. The Jews that they sat and talked to. I just thought that was really interesting that the Jews are telling him this. It wasn't just Argonbright and some of these others. It was the Jews telling him to do this. If you will call up a bunch of the leaders of Israel, I mean not these new rabbis with all their ceremonies. I don't know what that means, if that's ultra orthodox and all these other things or what that means. But call the real Israelite leaders together. And we have read this New Testament. The man sent him all the Bibles and said, we read the New Testament. And we know that when the Messiah cometh, he'll tell us these things, like the woman at Samaria. And that's where the sign of the Messiah came, right there. Or it came before. But you know that Moses said our Messiah will be a prophet. And when you can tell them and show them by the scripture, that which we will get in tonight's message, that they had to be darkened and their hearts cut off. If he can show these Jews that they had to be darkened and their hearts cut off, so that the Gentile space could come, that we'd have a time of reconciliation for the Gentiles, and their hearts were hardened just exactly like it was in the time of Joseph and so forth, when his brothers' hearts were hardened and they sold him. See, go tell them this, Brother Branham. Go point that out in the Old Testament, that that happened, and how that those two sons that came in were Gentiles. Remember the two sons of Joseph's? He was a Jew, but I mean, he had a Gentile wife. Okay. Exactly like it was in the time of Joseph and so forth. And then bring those Jews to a place and call these men from that audience, just like you do those Gentiles here by the inspiration of the Spirit. Go do it just like that. Just like you've been doing. Because they said, if this Jesus, if he is the Messiah and your words are true, then he is not dead and he's alive. And if he's alive, he promised to be in his servants, his disciples. And if we can see him do the sign of the prophet, then we will believe that he is Messiah. What a perfect thing. Exactly right. Then what would that do? A nation would be born in one day amongst the leaders. One day a nation would be born. Every one of them would say, we know it. When that rabbi says that, that settles it. Remember when the rabbi told them to get on the planes and go back? That settled it. He said they all got on the plane. He quoted that we'll go back on the wings of an eagle. And they all got on the plane and went back. And that's what he's talking about here. We know it. When that rabbi says that, that settles it. A nation will be born in one day. Israel would be born in one day. And I was on my road and stood at Cairo, Egypt, with the ticket in my hand and 15 or 20 minutes of calling time. This is how close he got to doing this before the Lord spoke to him. They was fixing to make the call, and I walked down to see a little piece of this ebony, a little elephant made out of ebony with ivory tusk, and I was going to send it to a doctor friend of mine, Dr. Sam Adair, for a paperweight. And I was looking at it, and something said to me, this is not yet the hour. Stay out of Palestine. So I thought, that's just me thinking that. And I went on. And something said, this is not the hour. Didn't say you're not supposed to do it. didn't say, and he's quoting this as a third reason why he is having something to do with them going back to the Lord. Didn't say you're not the one or anything else. It just said this is not the hour. And I went out behind the hangar and I raised up my head to God and I said, God, was that you speaking to me? He said, this is not the hour. Stay out of Palestine. This is not the time. Then I took my ticket and I changed it and went from there up through Rome. Now, all them brothers was pushing him. He was wanting to do this. He wanted to go do this. Now, you know why he had all that training years ago about not listening. Because these things were coming and these things were very important. And he had to be dead to himself for these things to transpire. And then I took my ticket and changed it and went from there up through Rome and come back to Lisbon in the Portuguese. And from there back to the United States. The hour was not yet. The iniquity of the Gentiles hasn't filled up yet. Why was the hour not yet? Because the Gentiles were not done yet. Now, I know if you read the message, you're thinking about the times Brother Branham said they rejected it. Laodicea went into chaos. It's the age is over. Jesus is on the outside of the church. If Jesus being on the outside of the church doesn't mean the Gentiles' days is over, I'm not sure what does. When they put him out, the age goes into chaos. And Brother Branham, that's Christ calling his bride out now. That's what all that meant. The iniquity of the Gentiles wasn't filled up yet, just to the end of the cup. But someday it'll be. And God will send somebody there that's a prophet and will prove to them, I trust that God will raise him up right away. What did he just say? Didn't say he was going to send two prophets to prove to them. He said God will send a prophet and will prove to them. I trust that God will raise him up right away. Let's talk about a sense of humor. I trust that God will raise him up right away. I'm not sure he knew, but still. Whoever he may be, that'll raise him up quickly. I believe it has to come. That's what we're studying this for. That's why we're studying this for, because I believe this has to come. And that we're so close. So, kind of jumping over into the past the church ages for a minute. Identify Christ of all ages. Brother Keenan posted this quote up the other day, and I really liked it. Each time he appeared on the earth at the end of an age, he always sent a man and anoint him. Now, this is going right with what we just read about Brother Branham saying, go, the Lord, raise him up quickly, because it has to be. You know, raise that man up, that prophet. So listen to what Brother Ram says about these end of the age. Each time he appeared on the earth at the end of an age, he always sent a man and anoint him with the Holy Ghost, Christ. The Holy Ghost is Christ, the anointed, the Logos. And it went out and it comes to identify the words of that age. The Logos, the Holy Ghost, comes out. And it comes to identify. Now, isn't that what happened to that little woman at the well when Jesus was in front of her? Brother Branham said when he performed the Messiah, the sign of the Messiah, that was the word made manifest. And that went down. That Logos was making it manifest. And it went down and struck that predestination. And she recognized it as that. That's what he's talking about here. Not just the messengers of the age. It's those that receive the messenger. And it went out and it comes to identify the words of that age. Remember, he said he lotted out the word for each age. And who is that in? As his children. Mm-hmm. You're his word. So much allotted out for every age. The word of the Lord comes to the prophets. The Bible said so and identifies that age. The word comes to the prophet and identifies the age. Remember, he just said he's going to raise him up. He could, please raise him up. He was praying. See, he does nothing outside of man. Now, he can't do it in a group. You can't do it. It just never has been done. He never did use a group. He uses one single person. Israel was saved as a nation, but you're going to be saved as an individual. And people think that you're going to go over there and go find them and get them to be baptized and receive, you know, that's not what it says. And Brother Branham just said a while ago that when those rabbis say that's it, then that'll be it. They'll accept it. That's it. And we don't have to see it. We don't have to see it. What did Joseph do when he got ready to show himself to his brethren? He sent everybody else out. And it was just him and his brethren when he revealed himself to them. We don't have to know anything about it. It's not to us. The seal, the message is to us. And one person he deals with, he didn't even have a Moses and Elijah the same time. What about that? Didn't even have a Moses and Elijah same time. But today, he's going to make an exception. I'm being sarcastic, but just to get you to listen to me. Okay. He didn't even have a Moses and Elijah the same time. He couldn't have Elijah and Elisha the same time. He couldn't have John and Jesus the same time. He has always got one because he gets that one person into his divine will. Amen. And just think about it, because in this last day, when the messenger went off the scene, Brother Branham said the message will not be denominated. That's the only age that's ever took place in. Not the first church age, none of the other ages. It was only outside of this age that that took place. In his first advent, Jesus, the whole world was corrupted with politics. Now, we're going to stop here just for a minute, and we're going to look at what people expect when they are looking for a Messiah, because we're talking about the sign of the Messiah. So let's look and see what Brother Branham said. People are looking for the Messiah and what he will look like and what he won't look like. In his advent, Jesus, the whole world, in his first advent, was corrupted with politics and religion. And that's the way it is now. All was crying for a Messiah. They was corrupted like that, but they were still crying for a Messiah. They wanted an anointed one. Israel wanted something. Rome wanted something. The rest of them wanted this. It's the same thing today. We all, each one, want a politician. We want something today. And going on, you can read the rest of that. I cut a bunch out because he just goes through Russia and the different ones and what they want. And he goes through Napoleon and how Napoleon, when he started out, he was prohibition. He wouldn't even let people drink. And when he ended the war, what was happening? He said at the end of the war, that when he died at 33, he said he died a defeated person. And he said when he would march his armies around, he had 7,000 prostitutes following the army. He went from a prohibitionist to 7,000 prostitutes following the army. That's where he talked about. He said, because Napoleon tried to conquer the world on his own. But he just goes through the different ones, and you can go read them. But he's just trying to talk. See, people were looking at Napoleon as a Messiah for a little bit. But the whole world wants this, their genius. Now, what if Russia got their Messiah? then what about us? You know, Germany got theirs not long ago, Hitler. And many of you boys from the First World War remembers that very well. See, they got it. You don't need that kind of Messiah. It was in the wrong way. It was the wrong thing. It was contrary to God's word. Just think. Oh, I forgot that this was still in there. I thought I took it out. Just think, Napoleon, at the age of 33, he had conquered the world and died in defeat. He died in defeat with the he was a prohibitionist when he first raised up. And his great success brought him, and he died an alcoholic. Being a prohibitionist to begin with, he died an alcoholic. 7,000 prostitutes following his army. And he died at 33 years old. And he tried to conquer the world, but he did it in the wrong way. See, and he talks about all these different ones. So you can go back and read that if you want. So what would the Messiah look like when he come? Since everybody thinks they want it their own way, they want to get the Messiah their way. What would he be? He would be like Hebrews 13:8, the same that he was. Now listen to what he's telling this church. He's always been. He would be the Word of God made manifest. The Messiah, when he gave his sign. That's exactly. He was God's Word. He is God's Word. He'll forever be God's Word. Even the sounding forth of his coming was always the prophets who the Word came to. The sounding forth of his coming was always the Word coming to the prophets, even. Here, the Word come in its fullness. So you see what he's saying the Messiah is. And now if he would come again today, he'd be a Word of God, manifested Word of God, vindicated Word of God, God living among us. If he come today, that's what he would be. He would be God living among us. That's the Messiah. He promised it. Amen. He would be that pillar of fire again. He's making this so plain. He would be the same Messiah that led Israel. Amen. He would be the same Messiah that led Israel. He would be the same Messiah. Sure. They would turn it down like they always did, certainly, because they want to build a great nation. That's why the Jews back then, they missed it. The Messiah would come. He would just shuck the feathers off of you. Talk about some preacher skinning down women and men. He would really skin them down. When he come, he said, "You generation of vipers, you snakes in the grass, you are of your father the devil." If that Messiah would return in this polluted time, he would do the same thing. Now, you're going to have to accept that by faith. That's just the Lord pointing out what's going on. God would vindicate his work just like he did in the beginning, with the same kind of signs and wonders. He certainly would do it. If he returned again, if we got that Messiah, be just like he was in the first time, because it couldn't be nothing else. If we've got the Messiah, it cannot be anything else but that Messiah. There's only one. The Messiah, one Messiah. The Bible said he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is always the Word. And now, you remember, as he's pointing these things out, you look at Brother Branham's ministry, and you see what God was doing in Brother Branham's ministry, and you see exactly what he said. But what are we wanting? We wouldn't want that kind of Messiah, speaking for the churches. No, no. We would want to be something like the world and what the people are trying to do. They want a Messiah. that will let them live and do anything they want to and act like the world and live in the world and still hold their Christian profession. If that ain't what these churches are out here now, it's just sickening. Right. You can't do that. If you love the world or the things of the world, the love of God is not even in you. Jesus said, yes, sir. But that's the kind of Messiah the world wants. That's the reason they won't receive God's Messiah, because they don't want that. And you wouldn't want it if there wasn't that predestinated seed down in there. It won't do it. They won't receive him. This is his Messiah exactly. His word is his Messiah. That Messiah in you does the works that the word says it does. It reproduces Christ, because Christ is in you. His life is in you, and it does just exactly what he is supposed to do. That life in you, it does exactly what he's supposed to do. Like he always did it. Same way he did it. The same things that he did, because he is the same. Talking about a day that we're living in. That's the Messiah that God sends. All right, so let's go back here and let's look at another example. He says things a little bit different when he's talking about the woman here. Let's just look at this. When he went to the Samaritans, the woman come out to get water. He said, bring me a drink. And he talked to her a little while and caught her spirit. And he said, go get your husband and come here. She said, I don't have any husband. He said, you've got five. There was her trouble. He said, you've got five. He said she had five, right? She said, I perceive that you're a prophet. He did the sign of the Messiah. He told her what was going on in her life, not knowing her. I perceive that you're a prophet. You know when the Messiah cometh. We know when the Messiah cometh, he'll tell us these things. He said, I'm he. And she run into the city and said, come see the man that told me the things that I've done. Isn't this the Messiah? See, here's where Brother Branham's pulling this from. That's the way he showed himself at the end of the Jewish dispensation back there. At the end of the Jewish dispensation. This is how he's showing himself. And now, in this day came the end of the Gentile dispensation. But don't let me say it to you. He's going to say it. Now, the end of the Gentile, he never did that before the Gentiles back there. Search the scriptures. He never done it before. Search the scriptures. Not one time. But he's doing it now. Didn't do it back then, but he's doing it now. And as he promised, he'd do at the end of the Gentile before he turns to the Jew. So where did he promise he would do that? Might tell you something, he said. And he goes on. And he's going to add the story again. I was at Cairo, but he adds a little bit, so I got it in here more than once. I was at Cairo, Egypt, going to Palestine. The Jew will believe it. The Jews seek signs, and they'll believe it. And we had a bunch of them. And I was going to bring thousands of them out. Louis Petros, send that Bible back there when those Jews come up from Iran. So when they come up from Iran, he sent a bunch of Bibles in there. And they was looking at those Bibles, said, if this be the Messiah, so they're looking at the Bibles that this man sent and said, if this be the Messiah, Brother Branham said they'd never heard of a Messiah. They grew up not did not know about Jesus Christ. If this be the Messiah, they never heard anything about the Messiah. They'd never heard anything about him. So they get these Bibles and they start reading them. Said, if this Jesus be the Messiah, then let us see him do the sign of the prophet and we'll believe it. The one that the little sister saw. Sure, they will. I tell you, Jesus said, when you see the fig tree putting forth its buds yonder, when them Jews come in, the six-point star of David flying, the first time for 2,500 years, the oldest flag in the world, they become a nation on the sixth day, on the seventh day of May, 1946, on the sixth day, rather, and on the seventh day, the same time the angel of the Lord appeared down there and sent me out for this message. Exactly right. It would swirl you to know what takes place. It would swirl you to know what takes place. And then I was right at Cairo, and the Holy Spirit said, not at this hour, return back. And I went back to Rome. That's right. Just not the hour. And when the Jew receives the gospel, the Gentiles finished. You know that? The doors is closed. Let him that's filthy be filthy still. Him that's holy be holy still. It's done. Gentile people, American people, not trying to say that it's me. God knows that from my heart, it's not. Now, if this was some great, great place and some great archbishop speaking, you'd say, oh, that bishop knows what he's talking about. God never did deal with such. Search the scriptures and find out if he ever did deal with such. Tell me one time he ever did it, or he ever did. Tell me one time he ever dealt with an entire organization. God deals with an individual. Certainly he does. But just because it goes, see, the people has to get in this kind of state so God can show himself. So God, they have to get in a certain state for God to show himself. And then when the judgment comes, he said, there it is. Did you know they didn't know who Elijah was when he was here on earth? He was a man. The Bible said he was of like passion as we are. They didn't know John the Baptist when the disciples said, why does scribes say Elias must come? Jesus said, he's already come and you didn't know it. You know, and I got to thinking the other day, and these people that's coming against the message so hard on the internet and stuff, they badmouthed the message, but they're not going to badmouth it away from children of God, the seed. They're not going to do it. But at the same time, they've covered the internet so much. They've took Brother Branham's name much further than all of us have in our websites and things have. You see what I'm saying? They have caused it to go much further in way more searches into way more in front of way more people. And the Lord will let people say, that guy's saying stuff, it don't sound right. And then go find out for themselves. I'm just saying, Brother Ram said that all things that happen, the Lord works them for the good to them that love him. So it doesn't matter how hard they fight. Satan's never been able to do anything that God could not use for them that love him. And so he's not going to suddenly pull out a move at the end either. But he's already come and you didn't know it. So, all right, let's pick up one more place where he's talking about this. Yes. Have faith in God. I'm sorry to keep you a little bit. That's not late, though. I want you to be real reverent just for a few minutes. The hour is now at hand to what all that I've have said and all that Dr. Veil has said and all the scriptures has promised, it's got to be found truth or false. Whether the scripture is true or false, it's come now. It's got to be right or wrong. I was listening when it was said this, that Jesus, remaining the same, the way he declared himself to both Jew and the Samaritan, and not the Gentiles. The Gentiles had 2,000 years to call out the church, and now it's the end of the Gentile age. I wonder how many people in here been taught that and believe that. Let's see your hands. You got good teachers around here. This is the end of the Gentile age. With the same ministry where those Jews, standing, holding those little Bibles, and he's talking about the same thing, with the same ministry. Brother Petros from Stockholm sent them a million more down there, and they were reading that how Jesus did, and they said, them that's come up from Iran and down in there, that the Look magazine had them. So I was going to look that up to see when that happened. But magazine had them. Life showed these Jews packing their loved ones on their back. We got it on television or Kodachrome color. And we interviewed them, Brother Argenbright and many of the Christian businessmen. And they said, are you coming home to the old homelands to die? Why are you coming back now? What's the purpose? Do they have a purpose? And they had an answer. No, we've come home. We've come to see the Messiah. And when the fig tree puts forth its buds, the sixth point David, point star of David, hanging over there, the large, oldest flag in the world, flying again for the first time for 2,000 years now. No, 2,500 years. Think of it. And they said, where is the Messiah? And going back to the land, they want to see him. And then when they read these Bibles, they said, if this Jesus was the Messiah, and he claims here that he's raised from the dead, let us see him do the sign of the prophet. We'll believe him. Oh, what a real thing, he said. My heart jumped. I said, I want a ticket. I'm going. I'll call thousands of them out. Say, did you mean that? They believe they're prophets. And when I go to Cairo, Egypt, when I got to Cairo, Egypt, 30 minutes of Palestine, I think it means he's 30 minutes away, I had my ticket in my hand. And they were ready to make the first call. Something struck and said, not now. The wrath of God has not yet come to the Gentiles. Their iniquity is not yet fulfilled. I thought, surely, that's my imaginary mind. I started on out again and I thought, I'll walk out towards the ramp. I'll just keep what I'm going to do. And if it's the Lord, he'll talk. And as I started walking out, and then there stood that light that you see on the picture. So he started working out towards ramp, and there stood that light. That's the same pillar of fire that led the children of Israel. That's the same thing that if that light that you see there, which they got here in America, they got it in Germany, got it in Switzerland, where they've taken the pictures of it, that light will bear record of what it is. It will bear record. And if that light isn't of God, it won't bear record of God. But if it does the same works that Jesus did when he was here on earth, so there can be a lot of people see lights around them and stuff, but they won't produce what he's saying. God produced this message. God done it. It does the same thing, works that Jesus did when he was here on earth, that said, He come from that light that was in the Moses in the wilderness. Before Abraham was, I am. When he was here on earth, look what he done in flesh. He's pointing out what the light's going to vindicate. He said, but I come from God and I go back to God. And when he returned after his resurrection, Paul met him on the road to Damascus. And here he was, a pillar of fire again. Such a light, so close to Paul. It put his eyes out and he had to be led. He would come into the prison with Peter as a light. He's returned back that. Here he is again at the end of the Gentile age to do just exactly the way he did back there. He's saying it pretty firm, ain't he? Any vine bears fruit through that, the branch of what it was, what it is. If it don't do the same thing Jesus did, then it's not Jesus. But if it does do the same thing, it is Jesus. It is the Messiah. It's not the first church age again. It's the Messiah. And if I told you the spirit of John Dillinger was in me, I'd have guns. I'd be dangerous. If I told you the spirit of an artist was in me, you'd expect me to paint a picture of the artist. If I'd say the spirit of Christ in me, then it produces the works of Christ. He promised it. Amen. Thank him for that. And then when I walked out to the ramp, he walked on out to the ramp, saw the light and walked on out to the ramp, and he said, it's not yet. It's for a season yet. There's still a season for it. Didn't say it's not you. Now, he's told it several times, and never one time did he say it's not you. And one time he gave it as the third example of why he was going to have something to do with it. And I turned and went to Mars Hill, from that back to the Vatican, and then back home. Not just the time, he says. When those Jews receive the gospel, you Gentiles are finished. God deals with the Jews as a nation. Just as a people, the Jews always as a nation, the nation of Israel. And what did he say when the seals were opened? That he's coming directly to the Jews. Because the Gentiles is finished. God deals with the Jews as a nation, us as a people, the Jews always as a nation, the nation of Israel. We're at the end time. This is a call to the Gentiles. God be merciful. He's here. You have to be with him or you can do not. He can do nothing for you. Now, what does that mean, be with him? And look at this little example he gave of Martha. He kind of likes Martha. He likes all the sisters, these examples, the one that washed his feet and the different ones. What if Martha would have went out there and said to Jesus, why didn't you come when I called you for my brother? Now, he's telling what he meant by you got to be with him. You got to be with him. You got to be in that right spirit. The miracle would have never been done. But she approached him reverently, be with him. Lord, if thou would have been here, my brother would not have died. But she said, even now, whatever you ask God, God will do it. Oh, how lovely. Looks just like the same spirit that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We know not whether he will deliver us, but we know we're not going to bow down. Laid their rights away. She laid hers aside. Thy brother shall rise again. And she said, Lord, yes, Lord, he was a good boy. He'll rise in the general resurrection. He said, "But I am the resurrection and life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." She said, "Yea, Lord." He said, "Believest thou this?" He said, "Yea, Lord, I believe that you are the Son of God that was to come into the world." There's a real believer in the presence of the real Holy Spirit that was in him. There's a real believer in the presence of the real Holy Spirit that was in him. What's going to take place? We're reverent to that word, but there's too much playing. People are doing too much playing. They're too concerned. I hate to keep saying it, but I don't even know who's going. I don't think anybody here falls in that category, but I keep thinking about so many people who are just going to church because that's what they do on Sundays. That's what they do on Wednesdays. You know, they go do this and they go, and this distresses, it's distressing to think about it, that it's going on. And I talked about that a little bit before service, but so there looks like there's at least another part of this, maybe two or three now. The longer I stay in the study, the more is coming. So y'all be praying for us. And I am really enjoying some of these things. Some of the things I didn't know he made so clear like that in some places, but it's clear to the bride. It ain't always clear, because there'd be times you look at something and you think that's so clear, and you show it to somebody and they're like, "So?" I remember that brother that came from Ohio, Brother Nate Moore, and he said he went to his family to tell them something, and he was so excited about it, and he told them, and they just looked at him. "So?" And he was like, then he did it again. Maybe he didn't say it right, you know. But he said it wasn't for them, or it wasn't time, or whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. So I'm saying it looks obvious, not because of an intellectual thing, but because of a revelation. Mm-hmm. So let's stand. I saw a song go by there that Michael had on his list a while ago, and I can't remember the name of it. He knows my name. That was it. Yeah. Could we sing that one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe E flat, maybe. Or D. Matter where I go.
falls and hears me when I call.
Sing that chorus.
He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls and hears me when I call.
Amen. It reminded me whenever Brother Branham was going through that, he was losing his wife and daughter, and Satan was telling him that God didn't care for him. So he couldn't tell him it wasn't a God because he already knew better. But he was trying to tell him that he didn't care for him. And how many times has Satan tried to do that? How many times has he tried to do that to you? So glad that his predestination, that anchor holds. I'm so glad. Well, let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, we're so thankful, as we said earlier, for your word and for you opening it to our hearts, Lord. May you guide us, lead us, Lord. May we not be hesitant to take a step when you say take one. May we not try to think of a better way ever, Lord, but walk as the wife of Christ does in this day, Lord. Absolutely in your word and in the way, waiting upon you, Lord, whatever you want and whatever you need. May we be that, Lord. We know that Jesus asked for that a long time ago when he said that we could be one. He asked that we would be one with you as he and you were one. Lord, we're so happy for that prayer, knowing that you are fulfilling that prayer, Lord. We pray that you'll go with us through the day and the week until we come back together again. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.